You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, howdy! Hey, what an honor to be here this morning at Houston's First Baptist Church. I want you to know that I just think the world of this place and your pastor, Pastor Greg. I went to Texas A&M University several years ago, and Breakaway was the most meaningful part of my college experience, and so God just used Pastor Greg in my life in such an amazing way. And so I'm just so honored that the Lord is calling me back to College Station to be a part of Breakaway Ministries, but so much of that has to do with just the impact God had in my life through Pastor Greg. So thanks for having me here this morning. I want to start by sharing with you a realization that I had that I believe applies to every single person in this room. Here it is. You are either dealing with a difficult person in your life, or you are a difficult person and someone's having to deal with you. All right? If you can't think of a difficult person in your life, it might be because you are the difficult person in your life. So let me just tell you how things are going to go this morning. If you are a difficult person, then someone needs to love you enough to tell you that that's the case. I'm offering to be that person this morning. And then I'm going to hop in my car and hightail it back to College Station. If you have any questions, you can email me at pastorgreg@... If you're dealing with a difficult person in your life, then the good news for you this morning is that this passage we're looking at is going to encourage you to deal with that difficult person in a way that is really healthy, loving, and God-honoring. So if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis 30. Let me read you verses 25 and 26 because it will set the scene for us and tell us where we are landing in the book of Genesis. It says this, "As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you that I may go, for you know the service I have given you.'" So we're looking this morning at a story about Jacob, Isaac's son. And if you are familiar with Jacob's story at all, then you will know that several years before this, Jacob, in a way, weaseled his brother Esau out of his birthright. And it caused so much family drama that Jacob had to hit the road running for his life because Esau was out to kill him. And so what Jacob did is he relocated and moved in with a relative whose name was Laban. And Jacob struck up a deal with Laban to work a total of 14 years for the privilege of marrying his two daughters, Rachel and Leah. So after those 14 years of service, Jacob tacked on an additional 6 years of service, which made it an entire 20 years of working for Laban. Now, towards the latter half of that 20 years, Jacob, in a sense, Jerry Springered his way into a household full of kids, okay? If you don't know who Jerry Springer is, you're better off for it, all right? But Jacob finds himself in this place where he has a household full of kids, and he has a very healthy realization that honestly every man in this room should have at some point, okay? It is probably good for me to get out from living in my father-in-law's house. After 20 years, it's probably time for me to start providing for my family. And so Jacob goes to Laban, asks for permission to leave, and it is not a smooth exit. Watch how things play out. Verse 27 says this, "But Laban said to him, 'If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it.' Jacob said to him, 'You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?' He said, 'What shall I give you?' Jacob said, 'You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it.' Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen. Laban said, good, let it be as you have said. But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had white on it and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Some people have to deal with a difficult spouse. Do not say amen right now. Some people are dealing with a difficult parent or a difficult child. Others have to deal with a difficult boss or a difficult coworker or a difficult neighbor. Jacob is dealing with a difficult father-in-law. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend a little bit of time unpacking Laban, who's going to show us what it looks like to be a difficult person. And then we're going to transition and look at Jacob. And Jacob is going to show us what it looks like to deal with the difficult people in our lives. Okay? So here we go. Let's start with Laban. The whole story begins with Laban being the only father-in-law in the history of the world who is not very excited about getting his son-in-law out of his house after 20 years of living together. Laban doesn't want Jacob to leave. Why? The reason that Laban doesn't want Jacob to leave is because Jacob has been very beneficial to the bottom line of his bank account. You need to know that this is not about Laban being a helicopter dad, and he just wants to make sure that he can always protect his two baby girls, and he doesn't want them to leave his house. This isn't about Laban just loving having his grandkids under his roof, and he'll just hate the thought of them moving far away. No, this is about his bank account. Before Jacob moved in, Laban had a small amount of stuff. And when Jacob moved in, he brought the favor of God upon Laban's household. And now Laban has accumulated a large amount of stuff. And over the years, Laban has grown to love his stuff. And so when Laban sees Jacob, he doesn't see family, he sees fortune. And he has every intention of continuing to use Jacob to get more stuff. And it shows us something very important. Difficult people use people. Difficult people use people to get more of what they want. So if you're an employer and you love success and wealth more than you love your people, you know what you will do? You will use your people to get more success and wealth. Pay very close attention to your turnover rate. If your turnover rate is high, I'm not saying that this is what's happening, but it's possible that your people feel used without feeling valued. If you treat your spouse as if he or she exists for the sole reason of meeting your needs, it's possible that you're a difficult person to live with right now. If you're a friend who always takes and never gives, if you're a friend who always talks and never listens, it's possible that the person on the other side of that one-way friendship feels used. Difficult people use people. So Jacob comes to Laban and asks for permission to leave. And what does Laban do? Laban tries to give him a raise. What's the question he asks him? Or what does he say? He says, name your wages. Now, what you need to know is that when Laban said those words, name your wages, I assure you that Jacob probably had this really bad case of deja vu, because this wasn't the first time that Jacob had actually heard these exact words from Laban. Laban actually also said these words, name your wages, when Jacob first moved in, and they began to talk about a deal where Jacob could work for the right to marry his daughter Rachel. Do you remember how that turned out? Well, let me remind you, Jacob agreed to work for 7 years in order to have the privilege of marrying his daughter. That is love, all right? That's commitment. He works for 7 years for Laban. And after 7 years, Jacob finds himself on his wedding night. And what does Laban do? Laban, the creepiest father-in-law in the history of the world, sneaks into the honeymoon suite and switches out his daughters. Who does that? Okay. Men, let's have a conversation. If you have a daughter and you don't want her to ever get married, fine. But if you give a guy a blessing to marry her, stay out of the honeymoon suite. You don't belong there on the wedding night, all right? That's it. Game over. Laban asked Jacob. He says, name your wages. And what does Jacob do this time? He guards his heart. He guards himself because he knows that Laban cannot be trusted to do what he said that he was going to do. And it shows us something very important. Difficult people are untrustworthy people. Difficult people are untrustworthy people. You cannot count on them to do what they say that they're going to do. So if you're a spouse who has promised to cut back on spending or drinking too much or working too much, or if you have promised to stop looking at inappropriate images on the internet, and yet you don't do what you say you're going to do, you need to know that at least in this instance, you are being a difficult person to live with. And you are putting an unnecessary strain on your marriage simply because you refuse to follow through with what you say you are going to do. And now I want to just have an honest conversation with any middle school or high school students in the room. If you promise your parents that you will go where you say you're going to go, and you're not going to party, and you're going to be home at a certain time, and then you don't do what you say you're going to do, and your parents take away your freedom, you need to know the answer isn't that your parents just need to stop being so strict, and the answer isn't that your parents just need to give you your independence. No, the answer is that even at a young age, you need to learn what it looks like to truly be a man or woman of your word. Difficult people are untrustworthy people. And so Jacob comes to Laban and he proposes this deal. And I would imagine that when we were reading it, every single person in here just tracked along perfectly when it was talking about speckled and spotted sheep and goats. But for the few people who don't normally make deals with sheep and goats, let me just make sure we're clear on what was happening in this story. Okay, Jacob is trying to cultivate his own flock, because if he can cultivate his own flock, then he can have standing in society. So here's what he proposes. He proposes that any speckled and spotted sheep that come from Laban's flock from this day forward will belong to him. Okay? Now, here's the thought. Okay? Speckled and spotted sheep and goats tend to produce speckled and spotted sheep and goats. Okay? Sheep and goats of one color tend to produce offspring of that same color. Okay, and so Jacob is planning to take all of the offspring that are speckled and spotted. Well, what does Laban do? After they strike up this deal, Laban goes in and removes all of the speckled and spotted sheep and goats from his flock. Why? So that Jacob can't cultivate his own flock, because if he can't cultivate his own flock, he won't have any standing in society. And if he doesn't have any standing in society, he probably won't leave. And if he doesn't leave, then the favor of God will continue to rest on Laban's household, and Laban will continue to get more of what he wants. And it shows us something very important. Difficult people are controlling people. Difficult people will do whatever they have to do to get their way. Let me ask you, will you be as stubborn and manipulative and passive aggressive as you need to be in your work or your marriage to get your way? And this one's going to be really sensitive, all right? So I'm just going to preface by saying, I say this with love, all right? But from one parent to many parents in this room, there are parents who feel a need to control every aspect of their child's life. You need to control what they wear and what their hair looks like and how they perform on the field, even though they're only four and they don't even understand the game yet. You need to control what extracurricular activities they're involved in and what classes they take and where they go to college and what they major in college and when they graduate from college and where they're going to live after college and what job they take after college and who they marry and when they get married and what type of wedding they're going to have and then how long they're going to wait to have children and when they should buy their first house and what they should buy for their first house. And then when they do have kids, what are they going to feed their kids or how they'll discipline their kids or how they'll dress their kids? Some of y'all are like, check, check, check. I'm doing everything right. No. Okay. There is a difference between controlling your kids and loving your kids. And we have to be very careful not to label control as love. Difficult people are controlling people. Now, where am I going with this? Because by now you're probably thinking, man, I swam to church for this. Okay, here's the good news. The good news is that if you're sitting here realizing that you're difficult in one way or another, and let's just be clear, we are all difficult in one way or another. If you're sitting there saying, not me, there's your problem. That's what makes you difficult, is you don't think you're difficult. So you're welcome. Jesus loves you. Be blessed. But if you're realizing that you're difficult in one way or another, here's the good news. The good news is you can't change who you've been, but that's okay, because Jesus Christ can change who you will be from this day forward. Jesus is incredible at giving people fresh starts. It doesn't matter how old you are, he can still do something great with your life. Instead of being a person who uses people, he can form you into one who loves and serves people. Instead of being an untrustworthy person, he can shape you into a reliable person. Instead of a controlling person, he can shape you into a trusting person. But let me tell you where it's going to start. It's going to start with you coming to a place where you can simply say, my way of doing things has been wrong, Jesus. Your way of doing things will be right. You know what that's called? That's simply called surrender. And that's where it starts. Let me tell you this. Please don't miss this. If you want to turn the corner on the ways that you are difficult in life, then I want to give you a very simple action plan this week. And I want to invite you to pray these three things before your feet ever hit the floor, every day this week. You want to turn the corner. You want to experience some traction coming out of the ways that you're difficult, then pray these three things. Number one, Jesus, today, my way of doing things will be wrong. Your way of doing things will be right. You, Jesus, have control today. Number two, and this one will be hard to pray, but Jesus, when I'm being difficult today, help me to know it. And number three, Jesus, today, fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might bear your fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. And what's that big one at the end that everyone could use an extra shot of? Self-control. Yeah. I promise you, you begin to pray these three things and you're going to begin to experience some traction. That's where it starts. Surrender. So we've looked at Laban, and Laban has shown us that difficult people use people, difficult people are untrustworthy people, and difficult people are controlling people. Okay, so now we're going to shift our focus to Jacob, and Jacob is going to show us how to deal with the difficult people in our lives. So Jacob comes to Laban, asks for permission to leave. Laban doesn't want him to go. And watch how Jacob responds. Listen to verses 29 and 30. He says this. You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me, for you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. So just think about this. Jacob has been dealing with a difficult father-in-law for 20 years. And Jacob can look back over that 20-year period and he has confidence in his conduct. He has a clear conscience. Laban has been difficult. Jacob has been faithful. Jacob can look back and say, your life has been blessed because of my presence in it. And when it comes to dealing with the difficult people in your life, whether it's a difficult spouse or parent or child or coworker or boss, make that your aim. Make it your aim that their life would be blessed because of your presence in it. Why should this be your aim? The reason that this should be your aim is because this is the example that Jesus Christ has set for us. Our lives aren't just forever blessed because of Jesus' presence in them. Our lives are forever new because of Jesus' presence in them. We all have to remember that before God, we haven't just been difficult, we have been dead, physically alive and spiritually dead. In God's eyes, without a relationship with Jesus, we are imperfect. He is perfect. And this perfect God, whose definition of a good life is a perfect life. Us imperfect people, we are not deserving of God's blessing and favor. We are deserving of his punishment. That's the reality. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't deserve his blessing. You deserve his punishment. But here's the great news of Christianity. Jesus Christ, who wasn't as God, came to earth and he lived the perfect life that we couldn't. And then he died the death that we deserved to die so that all who would open up their lives, open up their hearts and invite Jesus Christ in as Savior could experience his victory. Jesus's victory becomes your victory. His resurrection becomes your resurrection to a new life where you have a new reconciled relationship with the God of the universe. See, this is the good news of Christianity, that we who were enemies of God become children of God by the grace of God. This is how our lives are forever blessed and forever new. We were enemies, we're now children. We were objects of wrath, we are now objects of love. We were destined for eternal separation from him. Now we can look forward to eternal life enjoying him. This is what's on the table because of Jesus. Every other religion says, here's what you need to do to get to God. Christianity says, you can never do enough to get to God, but that's okay. Because God has done everything and he has come to you to take you to where he is. Our lives aren't just forever blessed, they are forever new because of Jesus. And when you experience the love of Christ, it's only right to then express the love of Christ. So that's why I say make it your aim that the difficult people in your life, may their lives be blessed because of your presence in it. So here's just some good diagnostic questions for you. Is your work better off because you work there? Is your marriage better off because you are in it? Is your neighborhood a better neighborhood because you live there? Is your family a better family because you are in that family? Now, if you're sitting there thinking the answer is no, well, then the answer isn't for you to bail. The answer is for you to look to Jesus and to invite his leadership into your life. Jacob comes to Laban and he strikes up this offer, this deal. What you need to know is that as a hired hand in the ancient Near East, Jacob would have been entitled to about 20% of Laban's flock. But Jacob knows that Laban can't be trusted to give him what is rightfully his. So Jacob comes up with an alternative agreement. where he would cultivate his own flock from the speckled and spotted sheep and goats from his flock. The only problem with that is that the speckled and spotted ones were the minority of the flock. There is no way that Jacob would have been able to cultivate what was rightfully his. But Jacob trusted that God would provide. So here's what I want you to see. What I want you to see is that Jacob's hope is not in Laban changing, it's in God providing. Do you see that? Jacob's hope isn't in Laban changing, it is in God providing. Here's what I want you to think about. If we were to enter into this extremely unhealthy time in the service, where I were to pass around a microphone to each person in this room and I were to just simply say, hey, if you're dealing with a difficult person, that person is in this room today, would you just stand up and tell us what's going on and what you think the solution is to your situation? What do you think we would hear? Well, hey, this is my husband, Tim. He's a bonehead. We've been together 25 years now. You know what? If he would just change, if she would just stop, what if this? What if the solution to your situation isn't found in the words if he or if she? What if the solution to your situation is found in the two words God will? God will provide me with everything that I need today to be faithful with this difficult spouse, difficult boss, difficult coworker, difficult parent, difficult child. God will. I want you to see how this story finishes out. And I'm just going to warn you, this is where this passage gets really weird. And I read this, and I'll just be honest, I read this and I'm like, I don't know, God. Like, I don't know what you were thinking here, and I know you're God, but this is weird. All right, so you'll see what I mean very quickly. Verse 37 says this. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants and camels and donkeys. Let's pray and get out of here this morning. I mean, what in the world is this? This is so weird. Okay, we're not going to spend much time trying to unpack this story, but I am going to tell you that commentators offer three options. I'll tell you the three, and then you can go home and beat your head against the wall trying to figure out which one's right. I've already spent my time doing that, so now it's your turn, okay? I'll tell you three options, and I'll just say there's gonna be some of you who wanna come up afterward and tell me exactly what's happening here. And I will tell you, I appreciate that. But this is a weird text. And I don't think that any of us can say with certainty what is truly happening. All right? That's just my opinion. But here's the three options. I'll leave it with you. And it's on you. Okay, so number one, first option is that there's something very magical about these sticks. Okay? This is just straight out of theologians' mouths. All right? Number two is that in his vast knowledge of sheep and goats, as a shepherd, Jacob knows something that we don't, okay? Apparently these sticks are the thing, all right? The third option, And I'll just say this is a very shaky option, but it's possible that Jacob had a conversation with God. And the reason I say it's shaky is because it's not recorded. So please hear me say, we cannot determine whether this option is right or not, okay, because it's not recorded. But some people suggest that Jacob had a conversation with God, and in that conversation, God commanded Jacob to put the sticks in front of the troughs, not because there was something magical about the sticks, but so that Jacob could express his faith in God's power, okay? I personally lean towards that third option, but it's a shaky option. So let me just tell you where I can land for sure. I can say for sure that God showed up and did something miraculous here. That's where I can land. And the thing that I will say I really love about Jacob, at least right here, is that Jacob is clear on who he truly works for. Jacob can deal with a difficult Laban because he truly works for God. And I think that that has something very important for us there. Here's what that means. It means that you can live with and work for a difficult person because you truly live with and work for one who's incredibly generous, very trustworthy, very reliable, very loving, and very kind. And that frees you up to spend your life responding to God instead of reacting to the difficult people in your life. I'll close by saying this. If you were to go back and you were to read about the 20 years that Jacob was with Laban, it was by no means a perfect 20 years. It really was not. But if I were to put a label on this 20 years of Jacob's life, I think that label would be imperfect but faithful. Imperfect but faithful. And if someone were to put a label on my life, may it be that. I would love for my wife or for my kids at the end of my life to just simply say, you know what? You've been imperfect but faithful. I don't think that there's a bigger compliment that you could give to someone than to say, you are a faithful person. Isn't it interesting that we spend our lives longing to be known as wealthy or successful or high capacity or popular or even beautiful? But when you read the scriptures, what does God celebrate? Do you think you're going to get to heaven and you're going to walk in the door and Jesus is going to be like, well done, good and wealthy servant. Well done, good and successful servant. Well done, good and beautiful servant. No, what does God celebrate? He celebrates faithfulness. So if you're dealing with difficult people in your life, spend your life cultivating a reputation of faithfulness with that difficult spouse or difficult boss or difficult coworker, parent or son, child. And if you're realizing this morning that you are a difficult person, let's just remember that is every single person here. Then what is stopping you from asking God to just do a work in you that you might stop being difficult and start being faithful? Remember, it all begins with you dealing with the fact that you are dead before you deal with the fact that you're difficult. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's where you have to start. Dealing with the fact that before God, you are dead. Just remember that God is in the business of giving fresh starts. It doesn't matter how old you are, he can still do something great with your life. Whether you're dealing with a difficult person or you are a difficult person, someone is dealing with you, may we make it our aim to walk out of here today living lives where we get to the end, Jesus looks at us and declares, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.